Greetings from K9 to diddly dum, diddly dum, diddly dum. End of message.
Good day, faithless listeners, and welcome to episode 170 of the Diddly Dum podcast, the fourth best Doctor Who podcast out there. I'm Doc.
I'm Hayden.
And I'm Mark.
And although the constitution of the Diddly Dum podcast has always mandated that we greet a senior DWAS official in the style of Roberta Tovey, I've had a unilateral constitutional amendment appended to it. Because I've run out of rounds for Jordan. So, now we have a guest with us today, listeners. Is your friend and ours, Mr. Tony Jordan.
Hello, good evening and welcome. And may I just say what an honour it is to be on the podcast that is also the highest available checkout in darts.
170, how do you do that?
60-60 bullseye.
Of course you can't check out with a treble top, can you?
No.
Now, our listenership has always been a very broad church, and we have always tried to appeal to all shades of the fan speculum. So, no matter what you think of Tony, every one of you will assume that we agree with you when we cunningly describe him as a hugely consequential Doctor Who fan.
I'll have to have a think about that one.
Have you ever been reading the news today? Tony has joined us to talk to us about an upcoming event in October. Before we start that, has anything consequential been happening in Doctor Who news? It's rather quietened down, hasn't it, in the last...
Well, you got the Season 2 box set.
Have you got that yet?
The Season 2 box set?
Yeah.
No, it's only just been announced, hasn't it?
It's going to be out at the very end of October or beginning of November, isn't it, looking at when the BFI screening is.
Oh, yeah, because they've announced the BFI have announced the Time Meddler, haven't they?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's going to be interesting. For us quality nerds out there, when you look at the video quality of these things, apparently, is it only Time Meddler and Dalek Master Plan? No, Master Plan, blimey. Dalek Invasion of Earth, which has been spruced up from the vidfire effect on the DVD. So that would be really interesting to see, because... Time Meddler, I remember it looked a bit grainy on the Blu-ray, but what a great choice that is. Yeah, Season 2, people. Woohoo!
They haven't done any animations for Season 2, have they?
No, because they're only missing two episodes, which are the Crusade, and it's not viable for them, is it?
But I've never understood why they can animate episodes that exist to make them complete when you've got 6-7 episode stories, but not do two... episodes where apparently there are too many characters to draw. Especially when I did one in an airport. The faceless ones. I've never quite understood that.
Well, obviously, Abominable Snowman's only just come out. That needs to be mentioned in Dispatches as well, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Has that been posted out yet?
Everyone seems to have seen it. Doc, you're the only one who obviously hasn't got it yet.
Oh,
I saw it yesterday.
I might have been waiting until payday before I hit... since I decided to, with these collections, to go for the, shall we say, the plasticky ones rather than the cardboardy ones, it's been a bit disappointing now because I've not had any for ages.
I know, I thought that. Season 14 came out at the start of the year.
I keep saying to myself that I'll start replacing the cardboard boxes I've already got, but I keep thinking, do I really want to spend that much money just to, So I haven't been, really.
I think Season 8's the next to come out in that more standardised form.
Which one's that?
No, Season 8 in the more standardised form is the next one to come out.
Which is Season 8?
John Williams says.
Terror of the Autumns, the Master Season.
Oh, right. Okay. As far as direct Doctor Who filming news goes, I mean, Chris Chibnall has never been a man to change horses in midstream, has he? And so, possibly in line with his traditional approach to ensuring the greatest publicity build-up for any Doctor Who event, we're already into September. Mm. And we still don't know when Jodie Whittaker's swan song will be broadcast. Has anyone heard any rumours about this yet?
Well, it's either the 16th or 23rd of October. And given that the BBC have declared that this week-long celebration of the centenary is going to be from the 16th to the 22nd of October, I would have a punt at Sunday the 16th.
Oh, right.
It's so secret squirrel, isn't it? And I do think it's been to the detriment of the programme as well, because, I mean, to be honest, they could actually call the episode Centenary Special for all I care. I just don't. A bit late now.
Yeah, but I guess they're waiting to announce the whole lot of the centenary week, and the BBC haven't done that at all yet, have they? So I think they're probably going to do it all in one go. So I think perhaps this time it's not actually down to Chris Chibnall.
If they were to announce it all in one go, wouldn't that be a ridiculous info dump? They should surely do it over a period of weeks.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, we're working on the theory. We know that Tegan and Ace are back, but there seems to be a huge amount of expectation that a very large number of companions and potentially doctors will also be appearing. Is that a fair comment?
Possibly, but then for me that kind of ruins the 60th. It's just going to be a gluttony over...
Well, yeah, but the 60th will be the third special featuring Tennant, and then he will regenerate into Shuti Gatwa. At the end of that, one assumes, and it'll be a different... Doctor Who will be a different world by then.
Oh, Tony, please do not tempt me with false promises. I'd love it to be a different world by then. Frankly, the very end of the Centenary Special could be Chibnall being gobbled up by the Phantom Zone, for all I care.
I just wonder what you can say. I don't want to see that at all.
I do think that many of us have been projecting beyond the Centenary Special and waiting for the three Tennant and presumably Catherine Tate with him specials that we will see after the Centenary.
I certainly have. I keep forgetting about Centenary, to be honest.
Mm.
In one day, Russell T. Davies did more positive publicity for Doctor Who than Chris Chibnall has done in 5 years.
Yeah.
Such is life.
Before we get on to the reason for your visit, Tony, you did mention this last week, but having spent as many years as you have in the corridors of power at Dwas Towers, I imagine that you would have known Ian McLachlan.
Ian was on the executive when I became coordinator. I'd got to meet him before. He preceded me by many years on the exec. But yes, I worked alongside him. He was an absolute delight, a wonderful man, a very intelligent man, a very erudite man. And I've written a piece, a tribute to him in the September cover issue of CT, in fact, which will be coming out later this month. He was a pleasure to know. And one of my delights about one of the early capitals, it might have been the first or the second one, is that he actually came down, flew down from Edinburgh all the way to Gatwick and was at the event, sitting there asking perceptive questions as always. He was a lovely, lovely guy who was an absolute font of knowledge. What was great about Ian was that he was a very spiritual man as well, but he never became a Church of Scotland priest.
Oh, wow. Right.
But his passion for God and his passion for Doctor Who, you could put the two things together. Whatever he believed in, he was totally passionate. Top man and much missed.
Hear, hear.
I must say, that's a Capitol event where there was an audience where people were asking perceptive questions. I'm sure I don't remember that one.
Well, certainly not one when you were in the audience, Doc.
Well, as we learned on the last podcast, listeners, Ian introduced Hayden simultaneously at the same Riverside event to both Terence Dix and Cider, didn't he, Hayden?
Adnams, I believe.
Which of the Riverside events was that? Because I cannot remember right now, Hayden.
It's my first one. It was Time 5 in 2010, I think it was.
Where Sylvester was the headline?
That's the one, yeah, because I hugged him drunkenly at the end.
What, Sylvester or Ian?
Both, probably, but definitely Sylvester.
He was so drunk by then, Tony, I'm not sure he remembers.
Oh, bless. I
think we have the tale somewhere of you resting your head on Sylvester's lapel.
And then he rested it back on mine.
Yes,
it was a lovely moment. It was the moment when Terence Dix and Ian were sitting there speaking about how they didn't like how the Doctor seemed to be this all-powerful god now.
That was it, yes.
And I told Terence Dix, I said, well, that's your fault because you made him so good back in the 70s. And he said, yes, I believe you got a point there, yes.
Are we going to get you up on stage in a few weeks' time, Hayden?
Well, in front of Terence's family.
You might have to ply me with all the cider you can find in that place to get up and go, yeah, so Barry said to me, does he?
I still think that the fact that...
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
The first Capitol that Mark and I attended, where Terence appeared as if by magic in the middle of John Culshaw's impression of him on stage. It was so disappointing that Hayden was originally supposed to be...
I know.
...the questioner on that panel, because we could have had... Three Terences at once.
Oh, I know. I know. That was the Capitol 2 in 2017. That was one of my favourite. I've got many favourite memories over many decades of Doctor Who events, but that was just perfect, that panel.
You could imagine if we had the three Terences, Terence would have come out and said, oh, so you're my replacement for Dandy and the Town.
And you know what? He wouldn't have been wrong.
I know which one I am. And... Doc sent me a message saying, Terence Dix is on the stage with Alan and John Culshaw, at which point I ignored him for about 3 days afterwards, because I looked at that and my sad little heart started to cry.
Oh. You can see it on the DWAS YouTube page, the whole panel.
I don't want to do that. It's going to make me feel worse.
Just a plug, boys.
Lovely.
Right. Talking of events... at Riverside and Terence Dix. You may recall, those of you good memories, faithful listeners, that in podcast 121, in March 2020, good Lord, Tony joined us to do exactly what he's doing today.
You don't know what I'm doing, you can't see the video.
Which was to talk to us about an imminent event at Riverside. Tony, tell us what it is again.
Well, actually, not wishing to be pedantic, but the original event was going to be at the Cinema Museum.
Oh, that's right, yes.
But, yes, so 900, this is the one thing I've got written down, 931 days late. Yeah.
Crikey.
On the 2nd of October, we are finally going to be able to have a day of celebration of the life and work of Terence Dix.
Hey.
It's been an absolute... I've been so determined that we would do this. Many events that were cancelled due to the pandemic, say, for example, in May 2020, there was going to be at the event at the Vauxhall Tavern, which was going to support all the terrible disasters that were happening in Australia with the wildfires and things like that. And that hasn't been rescheduled. But it was my passion that we should eventually celebrate the life of Terence Dix. And God willing, we will finally get there.
Now, this is being presented both by the Doctor Who Appreciation Society and the Hoovers, isn't it? Now, I'm sure we've all heard of the Hoovers, but Tony, tell us, who on earth are the Doctor Who Appreciation Society?
They're some ragtag bunch of bumpkins who were formed 46 and a half years ago and are still somehow trundling on.
Lord knows how. Whereas the Hoovers... Now, why do I always associate the Hoovers with Derby?
Because that's where they're based.
Ah, right. Is that why do they tend to hold a lot of events up there?
Yes, they've just had Hooverville 13 at the Quad in Derby. Oh. And over the past, well, there was 2-year gap, but they've staged, I think, probably the last three big finish days there as well. And they are probably the most active Doctor Who area, town, city, regional group in the country. Led by Steve Hatcher, and all power to them.
Steve Hatcher, who received a credit on the Troughton in Tibet documentary on the Abominable Snowman Blu-ray, I noticed earlier on today.
Well, you are very perceptive and sharp, Hayden. That's all I can say.
That's what you get when you stay until the end of the credits.
Yeah. But then again, I discovered it was only when people started putting things on Facebook last year that I discovered that in the season 24 box set, there was a video of myself interviewing Julie Brennan and Mark Strickson from 1988. You never know what's going to turn up in these box sets and
wow,
animations.
Do you think there's hope for my Chris Achilleos Dwas interview to make it onto there at some point then?
Well, then we'd have to get permission from Tasha. But I will deal with that. I actually have, we've put up the Terence Dix Award for Writers from the Capitol this year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That went up to tie in with 50 Days to Go, I think it was, to the event. There are a couple more awards from this year's, including one that Tasha picked up on behalf of Chris that I haven't as yet put up, but they're prepped. I will speak with her because she will be at the Terence event.
Oh, brilliant.
I will speak with her about that, and maybe we can work on that, because I do have the master files saved on my laptop. So thank you for mentioning that.
No problem. I've been waiting 6 years to watch the interviews I did at the first Capital event.
I'm sincerely hoping that Tasha says no, and you have to wait another 6 years at least.
Oh, well, to be fair, I deserve it.
No, remind me on the day, Hayden, because I will speak to her. Well, you can talk to Tasha about it.
I can talk, yeah, I can ask her. That's absolutely fine.
She's a lovely lady, and she is so positive towards Doctor Who fandom, and I'm sure she'd be keen to do it.
Would this by any chance be the Tasha who followed us on Twitter following the most recent Capitol? He said.
Might just be the same one, though, I guess.
So, in other words, I think we'll call this podcast Hayden's Heavy Hint.
Do you know what? I love it. I love listening to Lisa Tarbuck on BBC Sound, her 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday show on Radio 2. And at the end of it, she always says, name this show in less than 6 words, or 6 words or less, and by you have till Monday lunchtime when the managers at the BBC come back from their lunch that day, and then they'll name it. And they come up with some great names for her shows. So, yeah, so now we have this podcast is named.
Now, given what you had originally arranged to take place at the cinema museum, have there been any enormous changes between that and Riverside? Obviously, it's a different setup.
It's a different venue. It's totally different floor plan. Not all the guests we had that signed up for the original one can make it, but we've got one or two guests who we didn't have last time when it was originally meant to be, and then it was still waiting on answers from three or four people in fact, as to whether they can make it. The concept is the same. There will be probably four panels during autographs and the lunch break. There'll be a footage courtesy of Keith Barnfather from the first myth maker that was Terence and Barry together. That will be screened. It's right. Taking place in a very, obviously, the new Riverside Studios is this amazing multi-million pound building, as opposed to the Cinema Museum, which was, and it's surviving, so that's good. It is a very different sort of location. So it'll have a different feel. But I think we've got a decent lineup. And what I would say to anyone who hasn't bought a ticket yet, this is a totally unique event. Conventions, I mean, the Capitol, I have my own way of doing things. Kerry Woodward is doing Regenerations in September 2023. He has his own way of doing things. Steve Hatcher does things in Hooverville. You know, we all have our own ways of doing this. Is a unique collaboration to bring together something that is looking at a writer, not a fantastic actor or whatever, but a man who wrote, script edited, and was such an influence on so many of us, especially of those of us who are older, who steered us and who steered the likes of Russell T. Davis and Stephen Moffat towards their careers, and indeed Chris Chibnall
and Hayden Gribble. I just had to drop that in.
Yeah, but that's fine. But it's great that you being the next generation from me, Hayden, that is the case for you. His influence goes across so many decades.
And absolutely.
This is why I was so keen that we would celebrate his life, because it's a life really worthwhile remembering and talking about.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There will be a panel. It's not finalised yet, there'll be a panel looking at the enduring legacy of Terence, and that will largely be people who he influenced, who took what they got from him and went on to make a career out of it, shall we say. There'll be a wider panel looking at other media studies, so not just the writing, but other areas. Right. There will be a panel where we're looking at editors who edited the editor. Does that make sense? So the likes of Nigel Robinson and Peter Darvill Evans will be on that. And then there'll be a panel, two or three actors who have acted the part and who can talk about his work as an actor. That's the plan for now, anyhow. And then I'm hoping we'll have an open mic, which is fairly unusual, where we will be asking not only friends of the family and maybe the family itself, but also if it works out, we will invite attendees to come up and say what Terence did for them, what Terence meant for them. So you can see how I'm saying it's going to be a unique event. At any other convention, you wouldn't have attendees coming up saying this, that, and the other. That's the plan at the moment.
So maybe Mark and I could go up and say at Capital 2, Mark could say at Capital 2, Terence was absolutely lovely to me, and then absolutely grumpy towards Doc.
If we do this open mic thing, and there probably won't be a quality control thing on it because it's, you know, it's all about people saying what they feel. Yeah. Yes, you could do that. If you did go up and do that and I was in the auditorium, I would boo you loudly. But
Well, at first I thought, oh no, I won't be able to dine out on Terence being lovely to me. And then it occurred to me after about 5 minutes, oh, even better, I can dine out on Terence having been grumpy to me.
Do you know what? Terence's grumpiness was such an act.
Well, yeah, exactly. He wasn't actually being nasty to me.
No, but Terence put on this grumpy... But actually, it's because over the decades, it was almost expected of him to do that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And the real Terence Dix was very different. Very, very different indeed, I think.
It's a bit like our Mark, really. Over the years, he's almost expected that he will enthuse about season 17 stories. And so, really, the truth is he hates Horns of Nymon with a passion.
Oh, no, I don't. How dare you?
But he feels obliged.
Bless.
Sorry, have you got your cue cards mixed up again, Doc? And it actually says Hayden hates season 17 there. I could get up on stage and I could talk about the moments in the green room at the first Capital event. And he was sitting there in a chair and I thought I'd go over to him and speak to him. And I said, do you know what, Terence? I said, about 10 years ago, I met you for the first time and we sat in the bar and we had a good old drink for about an hour. I don't remember the rest of the day after that. So, Terence, I suppose I'm going to ask you, do you remember what happened after we had all those ciders? And he laughed. And I made Terence Dix laugh, so I'm happy with that.
But in many ways, this is exactly the sort of personal memory will make the day, you know, make it complete. If we do this open mic thing at the end, it will bring everything together because we'll have had the writers and the editors and the actors and the directors and whatever else there. But to have... I was going to call you an ordinary person, Hayden, but I'm not sure that would be correct.
No, it's quite a jammy person.
I mean, you'd be so far off there. But
to be able to have people who are there as attendees or working at it or whatever say what Terence meant to them would be great. When we did the first ever Terence Award at the Capitol in April, I don't know whether Mark and Doc, you were in the Panopticon when we did it. I talked for about 5 minutes about what Terence meant to me.
Yes.
And it was very much based on what Elsa Dix had asked. I'd been asked to make a speech at his memorial a few weeks after he died. And it was very much based around that. So I've been able to say it twice to his close family, friends, you know, the people that he loved. And then I was able to say it to the people at the Capital, the attendees, and the Dix family again. So I've had my chance to say what Terence Dix meant for me. And it's because he meant so much to me that I'm so passionate about this event. And if people who are going are passionate about the event and passionate about Terence, then why shouldn't they have a little chance to say what they think?
Absolutely. You could almost make a book out of it for charity. Anecdotes about meeting Terence. Could call it Cider with Terence.
I can just see Patricia Hayes being involved in it. Yeah. So I'm sure you're getting the drift of how this is going to be different and unique. And that's what myself and Steve Hatcher are aiming for.
Brilliant.
Do you want to go through the guest list?
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Well, obviously, I think all guests are great, but I've been really impressed by Stephen Moffat's determination to be with us. He was on the original guest list, and he's absolutely coming because of what Terence meant to him and what Terence did to him. You know, for him, should I say.
What did he do to him?
No, stop it. Stop it. I don't want to upset Stephen. But you think of Stephen Moffat's career, you know, press gang, coupling, into Doctor Who, Sherlock, Dracula, and I've hardly scratched the surface, you know. We're talking about one of the most important people in British television for the last 30 years, and he wants to pay tribute to Terence and say what Terence meant that's to him, lovely. And I think that's fantastic.
Mm. I was just thinking of the image of Stephen Moffat as a child reading the Target book. That's a Terence Dix books, isn't it? That's the Daleks. No, that's David Whisker, isn't it? Sorry.
The one that so many people quote as being their sort of stepping on point is Day of the Daleks as a book. It came out, in 74, probably, wasn't it? It was one of the very earliest original ones. And they still had the little... I still got my... Do you know what? Actually, as I sit here at my laptop, I'm just going to reach out and get my copy of the original Day of the Dark, and it's in the right place as well.
Wow.
You say it, and the word that immediately springs to my mind is orange.
Yes, and it's in the right place, filed in the right place, and I'm just opening it. The changing face of Doctor Who, the cover illustration, The Day of the Daleks was, after the first three that were reprints, there was Autumn Invasion, Cave Monsters, Doctor Who and the Doomsday Weapon, and then it's Doctor Who and the Day of the Daleks, and in preparation were the demons, the sea monsters, the Cybermen and the Yeti. This is a Target book illustrated by Chris Achilleos, and it cost 30p. The price had gone up from 25p. Oh. And it's got all the lovely illustrations inside. And that was what, let me see, when it was in 74, 73? 74, yeah, I was right. So I still have my copy of that from 48 years ago. It's that important. Yep.
Wow.
So I'm very, really, And that's what he means, isn't it? And if I go through my list of Target, you know, the Target books in front of me, let's just look either side of that. Terror of the Autons, Terence.
Brown.
Yeah. Mind of Evil, Terence. Claws of Access, Terence. Oh, the Doomsday Weapon.
Purple.
No, yeah, well, brownie purple, yeah. The Demons. Oh, Barry Letts. Oh, that ruins it, doesn't it?
Demons is purple as well.
And that's blue. It's dark blue.
I think I've got a purple one of that.
Is it purple?
I'm going to have a quick look.
I haven't got a single one of these novelizations within sight either.
I'm saying it's dark blue.
I've got...
Illustrated by Alan Willow, though, so that doesn't count. It's great. It's lovely for me to be able to look in my bookshelf that's right next to the laptop and then going further down, like Doctor Who and the Planet of Evil. It was up to 60p by then.
Cool. I've just checked mine. I've got a purple demon, and it's not often I say that.
What about Mrs. G? What does she say to your purple demon?
not a lot, not very often. But anyway.
There we are. The Planet of Evil, 1977.
Wow.
Talons of Weng Chiang. When did that come out? Well, that was 60p as well, so that must have been the same year. 77, a good year. But, you know, I wouldn't be at all surprised if a lot of people who are coming as guests, certainly those of a certain generation, will have so many of these books themselves.
Talons, was that a yellow border?
Talons, I'll put it away now. This is going to make great listening for people, isn't it?
Yeah. What colour is this?
The spine is white with red writing before Terence's name in black. And it's a sort of an off beigey yellow background.
I've got an American print of that one. so I'll be no help there.
There you go.
Off beige yellow background. I think that's how we were described in our most recent iTunes review.
Brain of Morbius has a yellow background. Another one from 77, one of the great years.
Mm.
So there we go. Anyhow,
so Tony, you're talking about guests.
Yeah, because I'm particularly pleased that we've managed to get Nigel Robinson, who was the editor of Target in the 80s, mm-hmm. and then Peter Darvill Evans,
mm-hmm.
editor for the New Adventures and whatever in the 90s. And it's going to be great to see their perception of what was it like to commission Terence to do something and work with him and whatever. So I'm pleased that. And Gary Russell's going to be with us as well, the winner of the first inaugural Terence Dicks Award for mm-hmm. writers. So that's good. I'll tell you one person who I'm thrilled we've got as a guest, Michael Stevens, not a name that's well known. Excuse me, but he has been for many years commissioning editor for BBC Audio's Doctor Who range.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh, interesting. So he's in charge of all the...
audio books. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Target, yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah. We've also got Dan Starkey along. People say, why have you got Dan Starkey? Well, Dan grew up reading Terence Dicks books, but he's also now starting to do some of the audio narration as well. Mm. So we're looking from a wider perspective. The full list of guests is on the Eventbrite page or and on the Facebook page. We've got 13 guests thus far. We're still trying to get one or two more who I can't say about. Some people, one or two people who are going to be with us 931 days before, sadly can't make it, but that's the way of the world. But I think it's a decent guest list. And you know, if you get 13, 14... 15 people at a one-day event. I think that's good value for money.
Mm, that's brilliant. Can I ask, who's Emma Reeves?
Emma is a writer. She's done plays for Big Finish, and she's done spin-offs, Bernie Summerfield's New Adventures and the such like. She's done a lot of stuff for CBBC.
Cool.
She's also done Tracy Beaker Returns and other things. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a broad spectrum that we have guests for.
So just looking down this, you've got the rights of Nick Briggs, Paul Cornell, Prentice Hancock, Lord, Marcus Hearn, David J. Howe, Robert Sherman.
Who's Nick Briggs?
I've never heard of him. I've seen an email today where Briggs says that he's going to be able to use his new Oyster over 60 card on the day, so he won't be claiming any travel expenses. David Howe, of course, brought us one of the greatest books of all time. And I have my copy here, which is incredibly 15 years since the Target book published. Wow. And I have...
We're talking about the A4 hardback white one.
Yes, yes, yes. The Target... Well, it's paperback mine, but it sold out so quickly. Courtesy of David, he kindly gave a copy to myself for Leo, actually. But it is 2007, and it has got dedications from David, Peter Davison, Tom Baker and Terence himself.
Hmm.
Did he have it reprinted?
It was reprinted.
Yeah,
I thought
I didn't buy it 15 years ago.
You know, if I was looking to cash in, I would have sold this original one because I think they're worth quite a bit of money. And of course, the forward was by Terence himself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Terence signed that book for me, the reprint of it, at the last Capital event I attended. And I also managed to get Chris Achilleos and Alistair Pearson to
sign it as well.
Splendid.
So.
Yeah, that's one of my favourite
non-fiction Doctor Who books.
It's a wonderful piece of work, and it's Terence's forward's date, Terence Dicks, London, April 2007. Mm. So 15 and a half years ago, incredible. God. It's a beautiful book, absolutely.
That's
beautiful.
The book that I take along to get all the guests to sign at Capitals.
It's got a few blank white
pages at the front and the back.
Ah.
That's going to need updating. David's going to have to be busy soon, isn't he, with all the new reprints of the new series stories as well.
It's going crazy, isn't it? Mm. It's good to see that that's still happening for Doctor Who, though. And with as we were saying, with the publicity that RTD is bringing to it, I'm sure next year is going to be a merchandise spectacle.
I think so.
Yeah, I think... Oh, I've just had a thought. Rob Shearman's attending, isn't he? So I could bring my Target Dalek book, which I'm currently reading.
Ah,
for him to sign. Oh yes,
There's another man who's passionate about what Terence did for him. Mm. Lovely guy, Rob, but he's it's great to have him coming along.
Was it Rob who wrote the story about how he'd interviewed him for a school magazine or something when he had a stutter?
Yeah.
Yes, that rings a bell, yeah.
Or was that...
No, that was him, because he speaks about it on the Frank Skinner Terence Dicks documentary on the Season 8 box set.
Who does? He does indeed.
Rob Shearman.
When they all sat down all together, because Paul was there, wasn't he? And
and Jenny Colgan.
I must mention Paul's involvement in this, because he was the initial approach from the Dix family to myself and Steve Hatcher way back in the autumn of 2019 to see if we would be willing to do this. Paul was very close to Terence. Mm. He's the man who sort of got us involved and got us enthused, and it'd be great to see him at Riverside at the beginning of October.
Autographs will be available to purchase on the day. Yes. Is this still the case? There'll also be a photo studio.
Yeah. The autographs, I think we're going to price them at £10 each, which I think is, in this day and age, is a bargain. But every single penny from the autographs is going to go to Save the Children.
Mm, that's great.
So I hope people come along with some money and we'll spend it, because there's some good guests to get autographs from. And yes, there will be a photo studio run by Rob Pritchard and Tricia Wood, TTL.
Oh, photos. Yeah.
Always rely on Rob and Tricia. I haven't got the pricing done on that yet.
Will there be books and things available? Will there be merchandise stores?
No. I tell you why there won't be. I was hoping that we would be able to utilise the main auditorium at Riverside for autographs and things. They've told us that we can't. So everything that's taking place will be down in the lower ground floor where the cinema is. So there is an ante room, if you like, with a bar. But all the autographs and photographs are going to have to take place there. And then there is the cinema itself. So I was hoping we would have more breakout space, but they have said that we can't have that. So we have to go with what we've got. So that has restricted. There just isn't the room for merchandise. There isn't the room for other things.
So with regards to the signing, do you have to bring your own item along to be signed? And is that the
I think yes.
You know, because a lot of these writers aren't really going to be, you know, have stacks of glossy photos of themselves necessarily, are they? To be selling to the...
You know what, lads? I've just thought of, and pardon me if this is very gimmicky, but I think for all the writers who are coming, it's only appropriate if the only signatures I get on the day are autographs for the Target books. Because just looking down, you've got Paul Cornell, and he obviously wrote Twice Upon a Time, the novelisation of that story. Stephen Moffat, obviously Day of the Doctor. Gary Russell TV movie, Robert Shearman, Dalek. No, I think I could get quite a lot of good signings for these books here, chaps.
Do you know what? Most of my books are still in storage, and I don't have many. I don't think I have any of the new Target novelisations. So,
well, it would be appropriate for Terence, wouldn't it?
I'm gonna have to. I have to delve back into my storage facility and try to drag them out. And I might have to have a little look online to see if I can pick up any of those new Target novelisations cheap, because I think that's a very good idea, Hayden.
Try World of Books if you're going to do that.
World of Books. Oh, yes, the old 99p, but £2 something for the postage.
You could have my reprinted David J. Howe Target book that I had to get replaced. Wrongly printed David J. Howe Target book. Which I got replaced, and I've been keeping, assuming that it will be worth a fortune in the years to come, like a kind of misprinted Penny Black or something, but no one's offered me anything for it.
Oh, pay for your retirement.
What you were saying about Gary's book of the TV movie, I've actually, in my shelf, I have my original 1996 copy of He's Back and It's About Time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's quite dog-eared. And Gary, who I regard as a good friend, who I've known for getting on for 40 years, he signed it for me many years ago for Tony. Best wishes and thanks for everything, Gary. So, I've got that as well.
He's Back and It's About Time. Is that Gary's autobiography?
There's Doctor Who and the Library of Time, which I have, which is the one where they have excerpts from the books. But looking at the people who stuff in there, there's the TV movie and Dalek by Rob Shearman. They're the only two who we seem to have. I was just going to see if there were more than that, but there's not. Such is life.
Having bigged this up for the last half hour, are there any tickets left?
Yes, there are.
How good.
The ticket sales have been going well, but it's a much, much bigger venue than the one we were originally going to hold it.
Of course, yeah.
So there's going to be 100 and... people present, 130, 140.
That's a good number for this, though. That's an intimate amount. Do you know what I mean by that? It's just sort of, you know, that's going to be quite a nice bunch.
The cinema won't be full because it holds well over 200 people, but that's fine. It's going to be spacious. It's fine. Yeah. You would think that after 2.5 years, you'd probably lost the momentum. But we've managed to build it up again. And I think it shows how much Terence meant that we you know, it's going to be a well-attended event that's going to raise thousands of pounds for Save the Children.
Hayden, I don't know what you mean by intimate. Could you explain it to me, please?
Well, I'll have to get the figures out again for that, Doc, and the diagram. So we'll deal with that after Tony's gone, shall we?
That link's in the show notes, of course, at our blog at diddlydumpodcast.wordpress.com. Also, you can just go to the DWAS site. There's a banner for the event, which you can follow and buy tickets at.
Yeah, it's the tickets are on sale at Eventbrite. So go to eventbrite.co.uk and then type in Terence Dix Celebration, and you will get the ticket page up.
So it's Sunday the 2nd of October at Riverside Studios in Hammersmith. Doors open at 10 o'clock.
Doors open at 10, event starts at 11, and when people arrive. Again, the planning is still, it's a queer one because it's us and the Hoovers doing it in conjunction. We're still sort of working out the final plans, especially as Hooverville has only just happened. But as far as I'm aware, autographed tickets will be on sale once people have checked in. So they will, they'll bring along their email confirmation, I believe, to the desk. And then behind that, we will be able to sell autographed tickets in the Maid Auditorium before people go down to the cinema. Right. So come with your wonga handy.
So it's planning to run from 11 till 5 p.m. The entire... Oh, we forgot when we were listing all those inconsequential guests, of course, like Stephen Moffat, of course, the entire Diddly Dum... what's the word I would use?
Crew.
Crew. We'll be there.
Yes, for some reason, you've been given access to yet another event that the Society is involved with.
I think there's someone we know who is just too much of a soft touch.
It's all those incriminating pictures we've got.
So is it quite accessible as well now, Riverside and its new guys?
My contact is one of their directors, and we had a walk around back in June. And they've done this, that and the other. For people coming in, it's absolutely fine if you're in a wheelchair. And we've had one or two people asking if you could walk. You know, it's all flat. You can go along it and you can get the lift down to the cinema. But the cinema, when they designed it, was based exactly on the cinema at the old Riverside.
Oh, OK.
So it's got the same pitch and it's got the stairs in the middle, which means that there are no handrails.
Yeah.
And you can't get access from the bottom up. So there's a very wide walkway at the back. Those who have difficulties in access will be allowed to in the back two rows. The family, rather than be at the front row, they're going to be in the back row or so. And I have discussed this with, I think, one person who was inquiring. So you're in a wheelchair, we'll have you right at the very back. You won't miss out on anything. And it's going to cost Riverside quite a lot of money. They're going to have to take seats out from either side, put steps in with handrails and redo it. And it's been realized after it has opened that that was a real flaw in the design. You could get away with it for something that was built in the 1930s, not for something that was built in the 2010s. But people shouldn't worry because they will have access to the autographs, to the photo studio, to the toilets, to the lift. There's this and that. It's just they wouldn't be able to go down the steps, that's all. But it won't stop them being able to access everything that's going on.
What about refreshments on the day?
There's the bar in the sort of cinema foyer.
Right, okay. Open.
Then there's the main bar near the entrance to the Riverside. There's the coffee shop which is the other side of the entrance to Riverside, there is a huge amount of food and beverage available. That's never been a problem at Riverside, going back to the old one, I'm sure. Hayden will confirm that.
Right, marvellous.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what it looks like now, yeah.
Well, you know, Tony, what we want to know is, where's the cider pump?
I'm here. Oh, sorry, right.
I hope there won't be too many Doctor Who fans who are disappointed by the news that you can't get access from the bottom up, given that that's the roughest and the main reason why they attend Doctor Who conventions. But
I can't believe you just said that. No, but it is fully accessible. So there won't be a problem. And if you come along, I think you're going to have an enjoyable day. I think you're going to have a different sort of day with a different vibe. And it's all going to be... The great thing is it's all going to be positivity, celebration. That's the key word of the whole thing. Yeah. Celebrating the life and career of a man who has influenced, well, certainly all four of us. And I would imagine had a say, you know, everyone who's listening to this podcast, this person has had a real say in your life.
I think that arriving at this event on the 2nd of October will be almost as glorious an experience as having, say, I don't know, a TARDIS arrive in your back garden, Tony.
Oh, who's had that then?
Was that not you?
Yes, of course it was.
you are a card.
Isn't it beautiful?
What's this?
I have a TARDIS in my courtyard. I don't have a back garden, I have a courtyard now.
Oh,
yes.
I've got a 3,000 litre pond with fish. No, just look on my Facebook page, mate.
Hang on, I'm just going to find it and then I'll...
Yeah, and you know what? I got it from a company who had it built specifically about 12 years ago. They sent an email and I picked it up and they decided it had lived its, you know, they didn't need it anymore. And is there a good home it could go to? Well, here I am.
That's how we got Hayden and Mark to join the podcast.
No, it's lovely. And we're doing some waterproofing on it because it's in the courtyard. We've done some waterproofing on it. Plenty of marine varnish and marine ply going on top. So it's not going to be quite as it, you know, we need to protect it. It's going to, in the winter, it's going to have tarpaulin over it. But a TARDIS is meant to be outdoors, really, isn't it?
It's on Messenger now, Mark.
Oh, right. Oh, I see.
It is made of, it's so sturdily constructed. It's like 10 times stronger than any of the BBC props. It's incredible.
What on earth is the Bassford Republic?
Oh, don't go into that. That's where the company is based, Bassford. Basford, in fact, it is in Nottingham.
Is that the remnants of Jubilee Bunting at the back, I can see?
That's Mrs. J's bunting. She likes to have her bunting up all year round.
If anyone thought that the London Olympics didn't do Doctor Who very proud, couldn't say the same for that parade down the Mall, could you? I think it was mostly Doctor Who, wasn't it?
It was magnificent, wasn't it? And Pete Purvis absolutely loved it. He had the time of his life. And then the Daleks, Dalek Decimus, who's a friend of mine on Facebook, he was one of the Daleks. And it was brilliant. And all the Doctors on all those different decades of the buses. There was a real Doctor Who fan got involved in that, didn't they?
You know what I'm going to say about your TARDIS, Tony?
Yes, mate. Go on.
The windows are wrong.
Do you know what? When I went to look at it, the first thing I said to the guy, who is the managing director of the company, £200 million a year turnover, 350 employees. I said, the windows are wrong. I actually said that to him. And it went straight over his head. And of course, we can say that line. That became canon when Moffat put it in, didn't it? In Blink, I believe.
Yes.
So I did say that. But it's lovely. It's a real, you know. My wife recently, she got one of the things she's always wanted, which is an outdoor sort of veranda swing.
She got that.
And I said to her, right, you've always wanted this veranda swing thing. I said, there's two things I've always wanted in my life, a Dalek or a TARDIS. I can't get a Dalek, so I'm going to get a TARDIS. I'm happy.
Excellent.
Who's veranda swing?
She's a former girlfriend of mine.
Oh, fair enough.
And your wife has always want. I want to get Fernando swing.
Absolutely, mate.
Are your shoes alligator skin, Tony? I know they're Crocs, aren't they?
Lord.
Yes, I was doing my tribute to Colin Baker when I had that photo taken.
I know this sounds like looking a bit too far ahead, but anything in the offing arrangements wise for Capital Six?
Oh, yeah, we're progressing well. We've had a summer holiday, but we have an announcement coming up. Well, it's probably going to be, it will be before this podcast gets uploaded, I would think. I think we've only announced 6 guests thus far, but we have, I think we've got 14 guests signed up now.
Oh.
Yeah. 11, 12, 13. Yeah, 14 guests signed up covering, the next few announcements will be New Who era.
No, really? Wow.
And we're going to, I'm still chasing hard on the one or two people I desperately want to get along with. It would really tick the box for me. So yes, there's a lot. Terence event is my priority.
Hmm.
So we're going to have a couple of announcements in September for the Capitol. And then once we've had Terence, then we're going to crank it up for the Capitol. October the 15th, we'll see 6 months till the Capitol. And from then on, there's going to be announcements probably every week. And then when we get to the new year, it'll be about 2 a week, you know, because there's a lot to say. And I'm really thrilled with how the guest list for that is turning out.
We're going to be having a bit of a shock announcement ourselves soon about a guest at Capital Six. Believe it or not, Hayden's turning up this year.
Never. No way, Jose.
We're thinking of, we're far too self-effacing to do anything like turn up all in diddly-dum T-shirts. So we're considering matching Mark's Don't Dump Bodies in the River T-shirts. We all turn up in those. And we can show that if anyone notices us, it'll be fans.
T-shirts with pictures of Hayden's face on and the line, he's back and it's about time.
And you're going to have, Now I'm not saying anything more. I was thinking about getting a Roboman's headset onto Hayden, actually.
Oh, whenever I walk into rooms, I'll just be going da 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 da
da da da da da da. Do you know what? That piece of music from when I was a kid.
Oh, it's a many a worm, isn't it?
Yeah, it was one. It was an absolute earworm for me from when I was a kid when I first saw the movie, and I've never forgot it for the decades. And then when the wonderful CD that Mark Ayres put together of music from the two Dalek movies came out about 15 years ago. That had the rail counter on. Ah, oh, that was heaven on earth, that was.
Where do you think we get the sound of our Dalek doors from for the podcast?
Yeah, oh, from there, yeah. Almost as good as going to see the double bill at Cineworld Wolverhampton.
Ooh.
What, was that this year, or...?
The double bill of the movies. Did you not go and see it at the cinema?
Yes, I did. I went to an Everyman, though, so I was luxuriating in a three-person sofa.
Oh.
A bit of a tight squeeze, but...
The cinema I went to, which was Cineworld Wolverhampton, it was fairly full. Not a big screen, but yeah, there was a lot of people there. It was good.
There were 4 people in mine.
I would say the screen I was in held up 75, and there were probably about 60 people in there.
Decent.
Really enjoyable.
I tell you what was really sad is that, not really sad, but it's unfortunate. But I mean, COVID screwed up a lot of our lives, didn't it? But the fact that it stopped us all meeting
Bernard Cribbins
yeah. at Capital Five.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great regret of mine. That's what happens. The Capital Five would have been a very different event if it had taken place in April 2020, because we lost about 6 or 7 of the guests. However, what we ended up with, what we had with different guests, I can't complain. Everyone seemed to have loved it, so... That's how things go. You always have to expect the unexpected in life, don't you?
Expect the unexpected. This advice has annoyed many hitchhikers in that it is A, glib, and B, a contradiction in terms.
We all had pictures in our minds of, in the same way that you you surprised Stephen Berkoff with Shakespeare questions, that you deeply researched 1960s top 20 charts.
Oh, absolutely.
Ready for your interview.
I'd researched, I'd watched a couple of 1950s black and white British comedies films, which Bernard was in as well. My research
Yes, of course,
was,
yes.
Yeah. I was starting there, then going on to, I was going to tell him that whatever the chart was in 1963, the Beatles were at number like 21 and he was at number 20. And this was the Beatles' first number one song that was going up. I said, so there you were, Bernard, you were on top of the Beatles. Yeah, I'd got it all researched.
Did you hear the line, you know, when he was in A Midsummer Night's Dream, the production that Russell T Davies put on, I think it was BBC Two a few years ago, Russell T Davies asked him whether he'd like to be in it, and Bernard Cribbins said, well, I'll have to see the script.
Yes, that's true. absolutely magnificent.
I still think for black and white film noir films, you can't quite beat Carry On Spying with Bernard in.
Yes, it's lovely. It's lovely, isn't it? And poor Jim Dale in that. He's just, he's absolutely goes wrong for, everything goes wrong for him, doesn't it? Yeah, Stench. That's a great, it's one of my favourite Carry On.
I know people say that, oh, what's the funniest line in Carry On? They always say infamy, infamy, don't they? For me, it's got to be Kenneth Williams in the gents in the restaurant saying, I should give it a minute.
I should give it what?
I should give it a minute.
Oh, right. You see, my favourite, oh, no, let's not get into Carry On films. That's for another podcast, isn't it? You should do a Carry On crossover or Carry On Who podcast one day.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Well, we can just get the old soothsayer off the exercise bag that powers our time dams, couldn't we? There's Uncle Bruce. Oh, was Brucey in one of them?
No.
I'm thinking of Bedknobs and Broomsticks, aren't I?
Yes, absolutely. My favourite Carry On line, by the way, for me is Up the Khyber when Bernard Cribbins says to Cardew Robinson, fuck you off. It is just perfection. And at the time, Cardew and his family were very close friends with my family, so I grew up with his kids in the early days. Yeah. Him and my dad were old muckers. So Lindy and her elder sister, whose name has slipped me this moment, we went to school together.
Wow.
Julie was her elder sister.
There's Bernard Breslau was an ice warrior, wasn't he?
Of course he was.
Peter Butterworth was
the time meddler.
Oh, God, there must be so many of them.
And the soothsayer didn't he play the doctor?
I thought he played cleaning lady.
Oh, he played Old Hughes, the Welsh milkman in the Green Death. That's the guy.
Right, well, we are but 2 minutes away from the stroke of nine. So, Tony, lovely to see you as ever. We shall see you in just under a month at Riverside. Right, in that case, we shall bid you farewell. And who's this coming down the corridor? I think it would be a bit tactless to have Uncle Terence coming down the corridor. it's the Sons of Skaro. Who novelised Dalek Invasion of Earth?
That's Uncle Terence, isn't it? Because it's the a rune of a man.
Yeah, the most famous opening line. It's a bit like the opening line from Moby Dick, Call Me Ishmael.
That's it. Yes.
Or The War of the Worlds. Yeah.
It's that important opening paragraph.
Dalek Skaros, if Uncle Terence had been here, what do you believe his advice would have been about water companies maintaining clean rivers?
Emergency regulations. Please do not dump bodies into the river.
Dalek Ray. We have sewage overflow in Sector 47.
It's a crap!
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
You have been listening to the Diddly Dun Podcast. Find us on our blog at diddlydunpodcast.wordpress.com, on iTunes, Facebook, Audioboo, and Stitcher.com at diddlydun, on Twitter at diddly_dun, or email us at diddlydunpodcast@yahoo.co.uk.
Diddly Dun, meaty, not runny. Top breeders recommend it because it's solid nourishment for the ears.